Business Matters is proudly sponsored by Print Supplies Frosses. Fed up waiting days for an engineer to service your printer or photocopier? Tired of running out of ink? Print Supplies keeps your office running smoothly with managed print solutions, local Donegal support and remote monitoring. Print Supplies helps save your business time and money.
Hello and welcome along to another edition of Business Matters here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. John Doherty began his business, as he says, out of the boot of his car. Having worked abroad and in Dublin, he came back to Donegal and began New Look Property Maintenance, based just outside Letterkenny. Now he has three vans on the road and is expanding all the time. Passionate about his business and indeed his native county, he is very positive about the outlook for Donegal. And in particular, he feels that there will be considerable opportunities for those who have a trade. Well, John came into studio to talk to me about his business journey so far, from kitchen and custom resprays, especially in the early years, to everything from flooring to power washing, painting and decorating, cleaning, refurbishment, garden maintenance and much more. John, welcome along to Business Matters. You're from Coolboy, just outside Letterkenny. We're going to hear all about your firm now. So what exactly does New Look Property Maintenance do?
We cover a range of stuff. Like our main gig would be with painting and decorating. We have three crews out painting and decorating. That goes from private, commercial, industrial, and all the jobs in between. And then we do small maintenance, and then we have a power washing division as well. So there's a couple of different avenues there. And anything we don't do, we always have somebody on hand that we can recommend, you know, to keep all customers happy if we can.
Now, no shortage of work out there. A lot of building activity, building-related activity. Tell me, how did you get involved in this, after leaving school? Was this a career path that you were sort of destined to do?
When I left school, I was attracted to the electrical side of things. And after 2 years of an apprenticeship, I realised I didn't like it. It wasn't for me. And I kind of tinkered about with a few different jobs. It was all site work mainly. And I headed off to Australia, where I'd done a lot of carpentry work. Again, found it interesting. The jobs over there are something that we don't see here. And then I come back. I was there for 5 years. Come back and tried a few different jobs. It wasn't happy. I always had this entrepreneur kind of streak in me. And I always was doing something, aiming towards working for myself. And after trying, I worked in Dublin for a while. When I came back, and I was chasing money. That's what I was doing. I was chasing better money. Donegal at the time hadn't, the pay wasn't here. And I was doing up my house at the time, and it was taking it all. So I gave up. When I eventually got a good job in Dublin, I stayed there for 2 years. And one evening, I just said, you know what, I'm going back to Donegal. I had this in my head for a long time, the maintenance side of things. And I had a lot of good contacts here. A lot of my friends were in positions where they could be recommending you and stuff. So we started New Look Property Maintenance with very little. Out of the boot of my car, 2004 Skoda Octavia, and a load of determination, you know, and a lot of doubt from people. You know, you're leaving a good job. Why would you do this? And, you know, sometimes I turned around and said, then what's the worst? If this fails, I can always go back to the job I was doing, you know. So if they were classing that as, you know, you're taking this big, it wasn't a risk for me because I knew worst case scenario, I can always go back and do what I was doing before. Yeah. So I started off with, as I say, a Skoda Octavia, and I got a lot of people would judge you, you know, oh, who's this guy? He's a cowboy working out of the boot of his car, but they didn't see a dream. I had a dream. Yeah. New Look Property Maintenance wasn't just going to be a bit of a care, and like I borrowed tools. I was very lucky that the network of people I had around me had tools, and I borrowed. And now it has come full fold. Like we have three vans on the road there, and every tool that we need under one workshop, and it's come a long way. But there's been a lot of challenges.
Sure,
you know, if everybody says, if you stand back and look at the scale, it's up and down and up and down. But if you stand back far enough, it's always going up. Mm-hmm. So with a lot of challenges along the way and a lot of as I say, ones, you know, you have to count the ones. That if you counted all the losses, you probably wouldn't be self-employed. It's not for the faint-hearted, you know. And yeah, if you count the ones, they outweigh the losses, you know, if you look at it in the right way.
So what year are we talking about, the first year as this as a standalone?
I think we were, it was 2014, right. April 2014. We ventured out, as I say, with a lot of grit and determination. And we started from there, yeah. There was a lot of to and fro with tools because you couldn't bring everything in the one go. And all the jobs were small. You know, every job was a wee job here, a room here, and a room there. And that's where you have to start. You have to start small. And eventually these jobs have grown. And, you know, we're working on multi-million euro projects now. Like the painting team there, they have some serious jobs under their belt. And it's something that I'm very proud of, you know, where you can look at that. I always look back and say, look where we started and look where we are. And we're not finished yet. We're going to continue to grow and continue to carry it forward. And I think part of the success is always be willing to learn. You know, don't go out with the attitude of I know it all, because the day you know it all is the day you know nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've learned my best lessons from the mistakes I've made.
And in that first year, you know, were you even then thinking ahead and realizing the importance of maybe going that extra mile, making sure the job was done absolutely as it was meant to be done, and in turn getting that positive feedback, and then word of mouth is so important.
If the job, yeah, there's a great saying there, and I heard it, if it's not right, it's wrong. And that was something that if we, every job we went into, we're only as good as the last job, you know. And having staff now is something that you have to really, you know, have a good talk with your staff and say, look, you're trying to represent the company, you know, and we're only as good, our reputation is only as good as the last job we do. You could do 100 good jobs, and if you make a mess of one, everybody hears about the one. So, you know, getting people to understand that. And look, I'm very lucky. The people that works for me, there's, you know, I have a lot of good people. And, you know, if they look after me, I try my best to look after them the best we can, you know.
Now, you talk about we, but at the beginning it was just you. So how long were you on your own and before you sort of started bringing in somebody else? Because that would have been a big decision.
It was myself, and then I realised, you know, some of the jobs, like especially the exterior work, you have a small window in the summer. Mm-hmm. And the jobs, if you're working by yourself, it takes a long time. And I suppose at the start, there was, you know, I had help from, there was a couple of family members would have come out, helped you in the evenings, you know. And because at the start, some jobs you won't make no money. There's a lot of thank yous, you know. And only for them people, you know, friends and family. Like there's people who donated their time. There's people donated their workspaces. And you know, only for the helping hands of them people, you wouldn't have got what you got. But then to go, I suppose, into full time, I probably would have been on the road about 2 years before I took a full time employee on. And at the start, it was finding the right person. So there was people there. They might have worked for the summer, and then the winter was quiet again, so they were gone. And then, you know, next summer. But now we have staff all year round.
Yeah.
You know, it's not seasonal work for me anymore. At the start, it could have been very seasonal. When we started, it was kind of painting and decorating, small maintenance in the kitchen. Resprays took over, and it was kind of a big thing for a while, but we moved in slightly in a slow. We still do them. You know, we still spray, and we do a lot of on-site spraying, like for new builds and for rebuilds and stuff like that as well. But we moved away from the kitchen. Not we moved away from, but the kind of that, what way would you put it? It was kind of like a fad there for a while. You know, everybody was spraying their kitchens, and that slowed down. And you know, it made room for to grow the painting side of it. You know, getting into more of the contract side of things. And you know, we would do a lot of work for some real good contractors, you know, in Donegal, and they look after us very well. You know, and only for some of them people, you know, we mightn't get to grow as, you know, as fast as you would like. So yeah, that's kind of the first 2 years was when we started to realize that we need more help, and it was a big decision because you look at the wage, you say, I need a wage, I have to run my house, and to help someone else do the same. It was, but now it's part of the job. That's my main job, is making sure that I can bring in the work so that the people working for me get a wage, and I like to pay them as fairly as I can, you know.
And when you're pricing a job, does that take a lot of time? I mean, I'm sure you have it down to a fine art at this stage, but, you know, with prices generally on the increase all the time, and maybe the scale of the project and the amount of time it's going to take, how difficult a part of your whole work is that?
At the minute, I would say 60% of my work now is pricing, you know, and that comes from the groundwork up. So, like, we've built at the stage now where the men are good at what they do, and I can step back and price these. But the larger projects, you do need QSs and things like that. But not every job has plans. So, and I'm very visual as well. I like to see a job, because you could see plans and you could land, and it could just be maybe the quality of the workmanship before might not mean as good. So it definitely takes up a lot of time. You know, it definitely takes a lot of time. But that's hopefully in the next 10 years, maybe 80% of my work is pricing, you know, and eventually that's how you become the business. It's more then of a business than, you know, self-employment. When you have at the stage where you have people on the ground, taking the company in the direction that you want it in and leaving the standard that you want as well.
Now, at the beginning, a lot of the work would have been people that you knew. It would have been private houses. Now, in more recent times, you've done hotels. You've done a lot bigger jobs. So you're actively on the lookout for all sorts across a wide spectrum.
Oh, at the start, it was all friends and family, you know, and that's the people that got you off the ground. And and then people recommend you. Once you do one or two jobs, word of mouth is the strongest form of advertising. But if somebody personally recommends you, then people has a connection. So if you can, and like every customer, I don't treat every customer generically. You can go on and you treat every customer as an individual. You know, even though the work may be similar, the person you're working for is never going to be the same. You always try and go in with a fresh approach to every job.
Now, with the housing crisis, the mica crisis, the population is growing. There's going to be a lot of construction work. There's going to be a lot of building-related work in the years to come. And before we came on air, we were just talking about tradespeople. There could be a shortage in some sectors. And, you know, this is part of your passion. And you're a good example because you've been abroad and you've come back. And there's a lot of young people from this county who have gone abroad. And maybe some of them will come back and could end up working with you. So no doubt you'd like to see more people. You may be people who are listening to this or have just left school or maybe want a career change, that there's going to be a lot of opportunities in that sector.
Yeah, the trades now across the board, not just in our line of work, the trades across the board there's a shortage. You know, there's a lot of, Donegal has some of the best tradesmen in the world, but the shortage here now, the kids coming out of school now, if they would look at they would be in high demand and get very, very well paid for it. Like, people who are good at their trade now, they can really charge what they're worth, you know. And I always said a good tradesman is worth his weight in gold. So I always try and open the door. Every year we take someone out of the college down there and we give them a chance, you know. And as I was saying, there's a couple of success stories. There's some guys who's worked for me, they worked for maybe 4 or 5 years, and now they've went further and they're in Dublin working for themselves, you know. And it's great to see, you know, they learned so much from me. They took that with them, and they've learned their own way, and that's the way it should be. A lot of tradesmen need to open up, have the patience to, you know, show them the ropes, and keep the trades going, because we really, really need to look at that. And especially in Donegal here, we are very short-handed.
Yeah, and I know Donegal ETB, the training centres in Goodore and the one here in Ballyraine in Letterkenny, and there is a push on for more apprentices. And no doubt, there's probably a bit of perception out there. I would suggest a lot of young people think, high tech is where the money, or I have to go to college and do this and that. And yet the trades is a sector that as we've touched on there, there's going to be certainly vacancies and openings for people.
Oh, definitely. The trades will be every bit as well paid as the tech, you know, because if there's, without the tradesmen, there is no, you know, infrastructure, we're in trouble, you know, and especially, see the work we're in there. As I say, we have multi-trades there, like with the small maintenance, what we do as well, which has grown quite a lot at the start. You know, it wasn't really as popular, but as the town grows, you know, I find that type of work has grown as well. Small maintenance, is very hard to get a maintenance man to come in and do small odd jobs. So, like, people coming out of, you know, maybe school or maybe a career change, looking at, you know, any kind of trade, multi-trades is definitely going to be well worth it in the long run for them.
And on the maintenance and sort of, I suppose you call it, property management side of things, do you have many people that you're on an ongoing contract to do certain things for them?
Yeah, we have a couple of very good contracts there. We do for, like, it's housing for different facilities, and there's nobody in-house doing maintenance. So they might have maybe 10, 15, 20 properties, and we would be their maintenance man. And it's a very, very, you know, at the start, these contracts weren't really around Donegal, but this last while I find, you know, some of the bigger companies are reaching out needing ongoing maintenance. So, like, we have, you know, contracted for a year with these companies, and it's good steady revenue for us. Mm. You know that work has to be done every month, and you know that paycheck is going to be there. So for us, it's good for cash flow. And people, if they're looking at these, like, maintenance jobs, you know, there's not a lot of people willing to go out and just change a tap. But, you know, if you get a pricing structure set in place for that, people are more than willing to pay just to get it done, because they can't get no one to come out and do the small, like, for a plumber to come out and leave a big house to fix a tap, you know, he's going, that's not worth my while, you know. But if you think about it, get a pricing structure for your call out, for your parts and labour, you know, people are more than happy to pay, as long as they get a service and they get an end result.
You're listening to Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. My guest this week is John Doherty of New Look Property Maintenance. Join us again after this short break.
Business Matters is brought to you by Print Supplies Frosses. Fed up waiting days for an engineer to service your printer or photocopier? Tired of running out of ink? Print Supplies keeps your office running smoothly with managed print solutions, local Donegal support and remote monitoring. With 21 years in business, Print Supplies helps save your business time and money. Email sales at printsupplies.ie to find out more.
Welcome back to Business Matters here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. I'm speaking with John Doherty of New Look Property Maintenance. Coming up, we'll hear about how he promotes his business and the importance of mental health in the workplace. But first, I asked him, is he in the market for tendering for public projects for the likes of councils and the HSE, as well as private ones, and is he actively tendering for work?
Yeah, we're always looking. You know, I'm always on the hunt for the next good contract. There's loads of contracts out there, but it's getting a contract that suits us as a company. And you have to know you can't overreach too far. You're always reaching up, but don't reach too far. You know, I always say bite more than you can chew and keep chewing. But if your mouth's full, you have to know when your mouth's full. Like, it's so if you can, we always look for what, you know, the next big contract. And like the maintenance, on the e-tender page, there's loads of these things coming up now, and that's how we have some of our contracts we have at the minute. And if the customer's happy or if the company's happy, they tend to roll over. You know, they tend to roll over, and you get to go again without having to go through the whole process of, you know, trying to win the jobs. They trust you. They know you're going to be there. They know you're going to show up, especially some of the houses we work in. It's time sensitive. You know, if they ring you and there's something small wrong, it might be a big deal in my house or your house, but because it's a commercial run house, it has to be sorted, you know, and leave the thing right. So being reliable is a good selling point to people, you know.
And what about, say, you are tendering for a project and there's all the various criteria and maybe 8 out of the 10 things you can do, but then there's 2 areas that maybe you haven't done a lot of work in. Can you bring in a subcontractor there? Or how does that all work?
Yeah, we have a very good network of subcontractors. Anything that, I always say, anything we're not good at, we have somebody who's good at it. Mm. And, you know, we can't be good at everything. As much as I like to think I'm good at a lot of things, everybody's good at something. Everybody has their trade, and everybody has. So if there's something that's not within our, like within house, you know, or any of the men working for us, we have subcontractors that you give them a call and you work with them quite regularly. So, you know, they'll jump in and they'll help you out, and they know the job is priority, or they say, look, that's not quite as, you know, important as the next job or whatever. So they're always on hand to give you a pull out, you know.
Now, we spoke about word of mouth. In more recent years as well, certainly imagery, videos, very important. And you're a dab hand, I believe, with the camera and doing a bit of video work. So in your line of work, you know, if people are online and they see examples, it's a great way of getting the word out, isn't it? The publicity.
It is. When we started, not to say I was the only person, but in my line of work around here locally, there was nobody putting up videos, even me talking. And there's nothing I hate more than listening to myself talk. But at that stage, we were doing a lot of videos before and afters, and I got a lot of traction online. You know, my Facebook page grew rapidly. Now, it grew, the first 5 years, it grew a lot. And because now you're kind of within the mix, everybody's doing this, it's where it is now, and I'm quite happy. You know, we have 10,000 followers. Like, for a small company, I think we're doing all right, you know. And it's the video side of things, like, we can... If we're shooting it, or like if we're doing a house there now, you can shoot a quick video before, during, and after. And then if people see me talking, they kind of connect with you before they even meet you. So you build that trust. And the same then with your online presence, like your Google reviews. You know, we have, 60 plus reviews online, you know, which is, again, you're building, it's online, kind of word of mouth will be Google reviews and stuff like that. So you're always trying to build a relationship with people even before you meet them.
And tell me, just, you know, by way of example, some of the recent bigger projects, things like you've been involved in the Beach Hotel in Downings.
That's right. The Beach Hotel. The Beach Hotel was a good project for us. And the owners down there, they had seen some of our work, I suppose, before. And we worked through another local company, Le Maison. They were the interior designers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you can work well, or if you've worked with them before in projects, you can... You know, you kind of know their style, and if you work with them, and we were just back recently there and finished the kind of second phase of that. And it's anybody wants to go down to it, it's a beautiful hotel. They've done a lot of work. All the rooms were all totally revamped. Their main function room and everything was all done up there. So it's getting big projects like that opens the door to more, because other companies see, then they can say, oh, they have the capabilities. You know, we're in the crematorium down here as well, which is a big job in Letterkenny. And I'm very, you know, as a company, and you look back, I'm very proud that we can take these projects on, and, you know, with quite confident in what we do. So when you take these on, you have to look back in and you have a bit of sense of pride to say, you know, I came from a bit of a car, you know, to finish these big projects, you know. So it's, yeah.
And with the increase in various costs for projects in recent times, if somebody comes to you and maybe the budget's not quite what it should be for the project they want, no doubt with your experience, you can actually assist them and maybe identifying areas that they could save perhaps in one thing, or do things a little bit differently?
There is areas, yeah. If people come in there, like, you kind of suss out their budget. Mm. You know, you can price a job and then they say, well, look, that's not in the budget for this year. Well, we can take something away from here and, you know, maybe add that into next year's. You always try and work with them the best you can, because, you know, as we know, like in-house or big companies, they all have budgets to work with. So, you know, you can't just say, oh, well, if you don't do all this, we can do nothing. Mm-hmm. So you get to a stage where you go, right, this can wait, this isn't a priority. We can set this aside and factor that into next year's budget. You know, so that's, you have to be able to identify what's important and what's not. Because for people who want it all done, but mm-hmm. you can break it down for them and say, right, I can put A, B and C onto this year's budget and the rest can do the next year. So that's, yeah, you have to be able to identify them things. Yeah.
And thankfully, interest rates still relatively low. So it's, you know, even if you have to go further a further term or expand things down the road, it's not the end of the world.
No, it's not. No.
As a small business, you know, what would you like the government to do, or even at local authority level, what things could be done to help somebody like yourself, and to help you maybe bring on more people to employ more?
Definitely, I suppose what they could do local level is definitely introduce more in the schools to, you know, give young people maybe an interest at an early age of trades. You know, not just, you know, in what we do, but like in all trades, if they could, you know, maybe have days there where they could take people out of school and take them to certain workshops and learn and maybe create an interest at a younger age. So when they get to the stage when they're leaving school, they have a kind of a broader knowledge of, right, it's not just books. I don't have to go just into a classroom. There's more. And look, there is loads there, you know, but I suppose it just, if they could knuckle down on that and give the young people maybe an interest at a younger age, you know, because I find when we were at school, like we woodwork, metalwork classes, I love these classes, you know, and it's them things that spark my interest, you know, in trades and stuff, you know.
Now, good design, good workmanship, absolutely key. A lot of people might do a bit of DIY themselves, or they might try and take shortcuts, but I suppose over the years, and you've seen a lot of potential pitfalls out there for people who are maybe even cutting corners, and cheapest isn't always the right thing to do.
No, I've found being the cheapest, there's always, in our line of work, there's always someone cheaper. Mm. You know, there's always someone cheaper, but 9 times out of 10, the cheapest quote, you're always rang back and, you know, look, we went with the cheaper guy. It's a mess. Is there any way you could come and help us out? And it's not to say, like, I always say, if they're cheaper, there's always something, there's going to be a reason, you know, and our running costs, I suppose, when you're paying staff can always be a little bit more too, but you're not just paying for, you get me along. I always say to everyone, if you pay that little bit more for a reputable company, you're getting me as well. You know, my man of it might be on the ground, but I'm always there checking over the work and making sure it's at a standard that we can try and keep it at, you know. But DIYing is, if people are doing DIYing at home, it's giving me quite a laugh, some of the jobs that we've been into, you know. You can go in, and especially husbands trying to keep their wives happy, I'll do that. And then you might get a phone call from the husband, any chance you could come and fix this? I'm after making a mess of it here, you know. And I have to give it to some of them, try and they do their best. But again, I always say everyone has good at something. You know, maybe that husband is into tech. Maybe he's a car mechanic. Maybe he's something else. And that's not his forte. And I don't blame them whenever you go on to fix these things.
He might have good intentions, might be fairly skilled at it, but mightn't have the right tools as well.
Having the right tools is everything. You know, when we first started like spraying out kitchens, I invested at the time, and it was a big investment for me. It was $4,200, and a very good friend of mine brought the sprayer from America, and it was a Graco sprayer. And I remember there were a couple of different painters at the time. You're off your head, you're crazy. You know, why would you spend that money? And that is still going today. You know, and that's probably seven, 8 years ago that I purchased that, and it has really it revolutionized the way we sprayed in house. You know, as I say, we mightn't do that now just as much now, but, you know, and over the years we've invested in, you know, the sprayers for the houses and stuff, and it's just always about trying to make your job more professional, but also quicker, you know. So if you can up your productivity, you're obviously going to make more money in the end of it, you know.
So in that regard, would you attend trade shows and be going to things and always looking at the next product out that could save you time and money and make the whole job quicker in the long run?
I'm always looking there at trying out new equipment there. Just recently I bought another, a little portable sprayer and stuff like, and it's for on-site work. You know, when you're on-site and you're doing trim work or anything like that, if you can make things easier, you know, and sometimes you buy these and they're not what they're cracked up to be, but you have to try them, you know, and you can do as much research as you want. It mightn't just suit your application, you know.
And as a sector, you aren't able to get any grants or assistance towards these things, are you? I mean, you have to finance it yourself.
I have to finance everything, you know, and all these machines that you have, that some of them are really costly to repair. Yeah. And, you know, but look, at the start, if I go back to the very start, I got grants to start up my business, and, you know, only for them grants. And that's anybody that's looking to start a business, I would always say, what's the worst could happen? Go for it. You know, these there is grants out there for startups.
Yeah.
And I started with a, you know, that was my how we started. And without that support at the start, you would never, I don't think I would have made it. Yeah. You know, but now when you're this far along, there's very little, yeah. There's nothing really that you can get.
And for somebody starting off, don't be afraid to ask for advice. And there's the support. It may not just be financial. It could be mentoring or courses. So that, you know, there's a lot of options.
Working for yourself is a lonely place. Mm. It's a lonely place. And I've learned over the years that most self-employed people are on the same basis. And I have I'm very good connections with a lot of people in the town that are, you know, everyone works for themselves. Sometimes you might just ring them for a good old chat, or maybe you might just give out about something. And that's all, you know, I never be afraid to ask, you know, because everybody's just doing the same thing. Everyone's trying to, you know, pay the bills. That's all we're trying to do at the end of the day, you know.
So if people want to see examples of some of the work you've done, you have a strong online presence?
Yeah, the online presence, you'll get us TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, you know, and if you want to see, you know, a man making a fool of himself every now and again with some stuff, I'm on there, and it's all about promoting the business, you know, and getting people to know me, you know. Yeah. And there's plenty on there, so there is.
Now, going forward, you know, how big can the company grow, or how big do you want it to grow? Do you want to see yourself going outside the Donegal and into the north and Sligo and places, or what's the plan?
That's a good question. Now we have just the start of this week, we were in Sligo. A company from Dublin rang us, and again, that's because of our online presence. Mm. But how big would we like to go is, you know, you can create a monster. You know, you can create a monster. And I would like to see it grow maybe to a stage with 10 vans on the road. You know, we have three now, and we're toying with the maybe putting a fourth on the road. But I'm trying to take it slow, you know, grow slowly and steadily. You know, don't jump, you know, because you can make this jump and you can realise that was a mistake. Yeah. So we're trying to bring it, if I could, maybe a 10 vans, 10 vans, with three men each, and see how that would go.
And then you're the man at the helm, so you need to be in good health. You need to be on top of your game. Yeah. Not a lot of point you being burnt out. No. So you have to look after yourself and get that time management right.
My health is one of the most, it's a very high priority to me, and mental health is a big thing for me. The mental health is It's a big thing in our house. Like I lost an uncle to suicide, and I lost my father to suicide. So there's no point in me building this if I'm not mentally strong. And you know, with all the hardships that I've been through in my life, I've went a lot of work, personal growth, and you know, build a better me is what I've done. And the more I build the business, I like to spend more time on myself. Build yourself, and the business will build itself. You know, so every year I'll go to, you know, maybe men's retreats there where you can go and meet up with, you know, like-minded men who are growing businesses and, you know, shoot ideas and stuff. And, you know, you can talk more in a room full of strangers than you can with a room full of your best mates. And the reason being, there's no judgment, you know. And I would give that a piece of advice to anybody. If you're self-employed, employed, prioritise your own health, you know. And then the mental health is one side of it. The physical health is another one. I'm the last 5 years, I've done some crazy things. You know, for a man, when I was growing up, I wasn't big into my health and my fitness. I started out doing online training with a guy, and it changed my whole outlook on training. And I started off on one of these transformations. You know, everybody seemed to do these things, yeah. And I thought it was a thing to do. And don't get me wrong, I was proud of it, but it was, you know, it was just a photo. It was more what was behind the photo. You know, I felt better.
Yeah.
Then I decided then I would do like a half marathon. Done a half marathon, and I hate running. I absolutely hate it. But there's something behind doing something that you don't like. It creates discipline. Yeah. And then carried that forward, and I'd done a duathlon. And what else did we do? Then the last year, we'd done a high rocks. Again, not recommended. It was great when it was done. And now this year, I haven't I haven't done anything now this year yet, but there'll be something. Like I always plan to do something along that lines of the health and fitness.
It's just completely away from the work. It's almost a valve.
It's the only place where you can leave the phone down when you're under pressure, whether it be running or whatever, and you can go and clear your head. And it's very important for me. I wouldn't be the person I am today if I didn't look after the mental health or the physical health.
And again, looking forward, being a business in Donegal, are you pretty upbeat about the future for this county?
Oh, Donegal. As for a self-employed business, I see tradesmen are now starting to get their worth. Donegal was always the forgotten county in a lot of aspects, but this last few years, they are starting to get their worth, you know, and the growth that's in this town. Like I love this town, you know. It's when you drive through it every morning and you get to go home every now. The traffic does drive me nuts, but don't get me started on that. But you know, there's a lot of potential in this town. And if anybody has any ideas, you know, to start something up, this town is the town to do, because there's ample opportunities in here. You know, it's just bringing an idea from your head and putting it on a page. This town is, you can do well in this town now.
And you're a busy man, and now even busier because a new arrival.
Yeah, Korea Doherty landed about, she's a month old. She's a month old, and it's totally changed my world now. We're delighted. Our house waited in this now a long time, and it's busy. Sleepless nights, and trying to run a business and be present at home as well brings its own new sets of challenges. But I'd done what a lot of, I know this is taking advice from older self-employed men who had a lot of regrets when their child came in. They said, take time off. And I did. I disappeared for 2 weeks. And when people would ring or whatever, I would just look, put it aside. I'll get to that when I come back. Or if the guy's out working, I would send them a message. I know you can sort this out, whatever it is. I'll talk to you when I'm back at work. And it was tough to let the reins over to someone else, you know, but that's down to the groundwork we've done on the months coming up to that. I knew I had the people on the ground to do the work and do it the way I would want it done. But our house now has changed for the better. You know, a kid really makes a house a home, you know, and I'm very blessed.
And behind every good man,
there's a good woman. That's right. the woman of the house, there's nothing that, you know, to watch Carrie become a mother it's something special, you know. Mm-hmm. To see a woman adapt to that motherly role and bring life into the world, I've absolutely no words for it, you know.
And probably gives you even more of an appetite to make the business more successful in the future.
It's give me a new purpose and a new drive. There's definitely a different fire. I always had fire or a pep in my step, but now when you have a kid, you know you have to set an example. You know, she's going to grow up someday and she's going to say, well, what did dad do? You know, and the answer is going to be his best.
Well, my thanks to John Doherty of New Look Property Maintenance for coming into studio for this week's Business Matters. Before we go, time is running out to enter the Letterkenny Chamber Business Awards for 2026. There are 16 categories, and worth pointing out, it's not confined to Letterkenny businesses. There are more details on the Letterkenny Chamber website. Well, that's it for this week's Business Matters. I hope you have a healthy, happy and profitable week ahead. Thanks for listening, and don't forget, you can hear the programme in full in the playback section of the Highland Radio website, and all previous programmes are available as a podcast. Until the next time, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Business Matters is proudly sponsored by Principalise Frosses. Fed up waiting days for an engineer to service your printer or photocopier? Tired of running out of ink? Principalise keeps your office running smoothly with managed print solutions, local Donegal support and remote monitoring. Print Supplies helps save your business time and money.